I want to speak tonight upon the question, can Alzheimer's cause a loss of faith? And that's a subject and a question that has been prompted by a recent newspaper article that contained an interview with the well-known actor James Nesbitt, Ulster-born actor. He spoke of his experience dealing with the loss of his mother a few years ago, her battle with Alzheimer's, and as he watched and as he observed the deterioration, it caused him to lose his faith in God. And I was struck when I read that interview and when I read that article. Now, my aim tonight is not to talk about Mr. Nesbitt. I do not know him. And I am always somewhat skeptical of what I read in newspapers. My confidence in the accuracy of journalism these days is not very strong at all. And so I always hesitate to believe everything that I read in the newspaper. But what I do want to do tonight is to take out of this article and out of the experience that has been conveyed in the article, I want to take two factors that are common and relevant in society today and also in the lives of God's people. And the first is the experience of Alzheimer's disease, especially looking at it in the case of a believer. And the second experience is this claim to the loss of faith. The loss of faith. Now, Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia. It's a physical disease that gradually affects the brain, and it leads to the death of nerve cells and the loss of brain tissue that causes memory loss and difficulties with thinking and problem solving and with speech. And in many instances, for those watching on, as has been conveyed by Mr. Nesbitt, it is as if the sufferer becomes almost like another person. It is a very difficult condition that affects more than 500,000 people in the UK. And so it's a very relevant subject. And it's a subject, it's a topic, it's a disease that will touch the lives of God's people. It will touch the families of God's people. But the question that arises out of that is this: can a disease like Alzheimer's or some other disease, can it cause a person to lose faith? Well, in the case of this article that has been written, I'm led to believe that Mr. Nesbitt's mother was a Christian. She desired her son to be a missionary. But in his circumstance, he is saying that as he watched on, it caused him to lose his faith. And therefore, can Alzheimer's, whether in the sufferer or in those family members watching on, can Alzheimer's cause a loss of faith? Well, what does the Bible say? That's the first port of call when we face perplexing problems. The Bible speaks of people who lose their faith. We've read about it here in this parable, the parable of the sower and the seed. And last week we looked at the wayside ground, the seed that fell on the wayside and it was snatched away by the fowls, the Lord interpreting that to be the work of the devil, snatching the word of God away from the hearts of men and women. Well, the second type of ground the Lord describes as the stony ground. And he uses here the illustration of the seed that fell on the stony ground, and it sprang up and it gave good promise. It gave the promise of being fruitful. But by and by, it withered. And the sun arose, it withered because it lacked moisture and it had no root. And therefore, It was consumed, it was withered away by the heat of the sun. The Lord interpreted that situation in verse 13, and he says, "They on the rock, on the stony ground, are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." And I want to take that little phrase, "for a while believe." For a while believe, and then fall away. And so the Lord is emphasizing here, the Bible is teaching, that there are those who for a little time believe, and then they fall away. The word that's translated here, "fall away," comes from that word from which we get apostasy. And that's what true apostasy is. It is a falling away from the faith of the gospel. And the reason why there is a falling away is due to trials and troubles and hardships that come because there is no root. There is no root in that person's faith. And when those trials come, then that faith is seen not to be a true faith. The Lord told the parable to illustrate the nature of true faith, and to show true faith in light of that which is false faith or a temporal faith. And I think that this description in verse 13 is worthy of that very title. It is but a temporal faith. For a while they believe. Just for a while. It's only temporal. It doesn't last. And the reason why it doesn't last is because there's no root. No root. "These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." You see, the Lord is teaching that true faith is rooted. It is always rooted in God's word. It is connected to God's word. People talk about a blind faith. Well, the Bible knows no such thing. The faith that the Bible speaks of, and the faith that the Bible requires and commands of us, is a faith that is based upon what God has said. It is based upon the word of God. It is always based upon the knowledge that God has revealed in his word. True faith believes what God says. So when we face a condition, a disease like Alzheimer's or some other degenerative disease that ends in death, how does true faith respond to that condition? How does true faith meet that situation and deal with it? How does true faith respond? Well, I think that the Lord is teaching us here in this parable that when these trials come, when these temptations come, when these afflictions come, that true faith always turns to the Word of God for an answer. It always seeks to be informed by Scripture, by the Word of God. And so when the situation arises and a person develops a disease that is part of the process of decay that eventually brings about or ends in death, true faith comes to the Bible and asks the question, what is God's answer to this situation? What does God say about this in his word? And when faith comes to the Bible, it discovers that the world, in the first place, the world as we know it today was not created in this way at the beginning. What we see today, when we look out over the world and we see the sickness and we see the diseases, and we see the suffering, and we see the pain and the sorrow that prevails right across the face of the earth. True faith comes to the Bible and it discovers that what we see today is not how this world was created in the beginning. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, and there we have the revelation of how this world was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the last verse of Genesis 1, God tells us, verse 31, that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Behold, it was very good. Now, true faith doesn't question the revelation that God has given. True faith takes God at his word and believes this first chapter of the book of Genesis, that God created the heavens and the earth, that God created this universe. He did it in 6 days. And at the end of those 6 days, God looked out over everything that he had made, and it was very good. There wasn't any sickness. There wasn't any disease. There wasn't any death. There wasn't any sorrow. There wasn't any pain. It was very good. And so, from the information given in God's word, faith recognizes and faith learns that the world as we know it today, with all of these problems, was not of God's making. It was not of God's making. It is a great mystery how someone can look over the world now with all its troubles and then struggle with the idea that somehow God was or is responsible for this. That's a great mystery. When you read but the first chapter of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible teaches us that the world as we know it tonight was not created by God. This world, with all of its disease and sickness and sorrow, was not created by God. The world that God created was very good. Very good. Now that brings true faith to a second discovery. That this present world, as we know it, with all of its sorrow and sickness and pain, was caused by man's disobedience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us very clearly, follow the order of this verse. This is a verse in the Bible, and true faith, remember, is always rooted in God's word. It comes to the Bible and accepts it as the word of God and receives its teaching from God's word. And so it comes to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and it discovers these words: by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now the word death is the summary of this present world. When the Bible talks about death, it's talking about all the sickness and all the disease and all the sorrow that eventually ends in mortal death. And the Bible teaches that death entered into this world because of sin. Isn't that clear? By one man, sin entered into the world, and death entered into the world by sin, by the sin of one man. You see how clear the Bible is. God is not the origin of this present world. with all of its disease and sickness and death. God did not make this world in such a way. He made it very good. But the reason why death came into this world was because of sin. The sin of one man. Man is the cause. Man is the source. Man is the origin for the present condition of this world. If you turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16. Gives us information now concerning what God said to the first man. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that teaches me, and teaches true faith, that the condition of death that was brought into this world by sin was not brought about by ignorance. God told Adam, if you sin, then death will be the consequence. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam knew that if he disobeyed God's command, the consequence would be death. Do you see the teaching of Scripture? God didn't make this world as we presently find it. That was brought about because of man's sin. And Adam knew this would be the consequence if he disobeyed God. And so therefore, it is an even greater mystery to hear people say, when they look out over the world with all of its sickness and suffering, to say that they have this great struggle and they no longer believe in God, that somehow this suffering disproves God. Because God told man, this will happen if you sin. This will happen. And it did happen. And therefore, faith comes to the Bible, true faith comes to the Bible, and it discovers in a third place that man's present life in this world is a journey back to the dust of the ground. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. Here we have the occasion, after Adam has disobeyed God, that God calls him to account. And the Lord speaks to Adam, and he says in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. This is what your life's going to consist of, Adam. All the days of your life. Sorrow. Hardship. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now follow the process here. True faith comes to the Bible and discovers that this present world, with all of its sickness and sorrow, was not as God made it in the beginning. It came about because of man's sin. And consequently, man's present life in this world is a return journey to the ground. A return journey to the dust of the ground. Unto dust shalt thou return. Now that's indisputable. The evidence is everywhere. Men die. The body corrupts. And it returns to dust. That will happen to every one of us. If the Lord does not come again before that, that will happen to every one of us. It will happen to every person in the town of Ballyclare. It will happen to every person in this country, to every person on this island, to every person across the earth. We are on a return journey to the dust of the ground. That's what the Bible teaches. From the moment that we are born, we embark on a return journey to the dust. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now that is a process of decay, which in ordinary circumstances involves the aging process, growing old, the onset of the decaying process with the breaking up of the body and even the breaking up of the mind. One of the reasons why people in modern society struggle with this concept of suffering and God who created all things is because modern society has cast away the book of Genesis. But the book of Genesis is logical. It explains what we see all around us in a logical way. And it explains the fact that man's present life is a return journey to the dust of the ground. We're going down the valley, one by one, with our faces towards the setting of the sun. Down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death in onward silence flows, we're going down the valley, one by one. And that is true of Christians. Christians are on the very same journey. It's very interesting to read the last words of men and women of God in the Bible. That's an interesting study. You can think of Jacob. He gathered, or whenever Joseph came to him, he said, "Behold, I die." And then Joseph, when he came to that stage, he said to his brethren, "Behold, I die." Joshua gathered all the tribes and he said, "I am going the way of all the earth." David took the very same words and he said to Solomon, "I go the way of all the earth. I'm on this return journey to the dust. That process of decay is in me. It's unstoppable." We are born and we grow, and yet all the time the principle of death is at work within us, and that aging process is at work that eventually brings us to the grave and brings us back to the dust. That is something that Christians will experience also. And even that process by which death finally comes. Do you remember in John's Gospel chapter 11? We have there the record concerning Lazarus. And the news is sent to the Lord from the sisters of Lazarus saying to him in verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the sickness that Lazarus had was a sickness unto death. Verse number 14, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus got sick. The body started to decay, and it ended in death. But Lazarus was loved by the Lord. He whom thou lovest is sick. The Lord's people are not exempt from this return journey to the dust. We are on the very same journey. That process of decay is at work within us. And eventually, if the Lord does not return first, eventually we will return to the dust of the ground. And like Job, who said that worms would destroy this body, the same will happen to us. We are not exempt from these things. And believers, because we are believers and because we are the object of our Savior's love, that does not exempt us from this return journey to the dust, which involves disease and sickness. Diseases like Alzheimer's and cancer. All of these things that eventually hasten that return journey to the dust. We are not exempt from these things. True faith comes to the Bible and finds this is the case. That our life here in this present world consists of this return journey. But faith also discovers something else, something very wonderful. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 46, you'll discover in that chapter that true faith, when it comes to the Bible, not only realizes that this present world is not as God made it, but rather it came about because of sin, and our present life now is a return journey to the dust, as far as the body is concerned. But it also discovers that God promises to be faithful to his people all the way along this return journey and beyond. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. Look at these words. Remember what Jesus said in the parable of the sower. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. Listen to what God says. Faith always listens to what God says. Well, look at verse 3. Hearken unto me. Listen unto me, the Lord says. O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even to hoar or grey hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Notice here, the Lord recognizes that we are on this return journey that includes the process of old age with all of its decay, when health and strength and vitality are gone and decay sets in. The Lord says, even to old age, and with all of its infirmity and all of its afflictions, even things like Alzheimer's, when those things have set in, the Lord says, even then I will carry you. Isn't that a tremendous promise? When you're no longer able to walk yourself, and the limbs no longer have any strength, to your old age, to your hoar hairs, I will bear. I will carry you. I will deliver you. And faith holds on to that promise. This is the promise of God. His word teaches me that I'm on a return journey to the dust. And that's a journey that involves the process of decay and old age and all that comes with it, on to death. But through it all, the Lord says, I will carry you. I will bear you, even to your old age and to your hoar hairs. Isn't this a tremendous promise that the Lord gives to his people? If you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, you have that process set in place. And the emphasis here is to young people. When you're young, remember now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That process of decay brings no pleasure. The beauty of the countenance is consumed. The features become sunken. Wrinkles appear. A stooping frame. Tottering limbs. That's what Solomon depicts here. What a picture it is. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. That is, in the day of your youth, when you've got your senses. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the arms and the legs no longer have the strength, the strong men by themselves. There's the bowing over of the frame. The grinders cease because they are few. That's the teeth. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyesight is not the same. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, sleeplessness. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Those sounds that we once enjoyed in younger days no longer bring the same delight. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And is it not the case in old age that fear is heightened? The almond tree shall flourish. And the almond tree, when it flourishes, has white fruit upon it. The Lord is depicting here the aging process, even upon the hair of the head. The grasshopper becomes a burden. The very smallest things become irksome and irritating, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, to eternity. He's on a return journey. And mourners go about the street, or ever the silver cord be loose. We were singing Fanny Crosby's hymn that's based on this very passage. The silver cord being loose, the golden bowl being broken. The thought here is of the soul being, as it were, loosened from the body. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. This is the return journey. And it is not a pleasurable experience. But God says, even when that process of decay has come, I will carry you. I will bear you. And sometimes the Lord's people face great disease and great illness, even Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. And they become like another person. They do things that are uncharacteristic. But if that person, during the course of their lifetime, has received Christ, trusted in him, Even when that time comes, the Lord says, I will bear you through. I remember my granddad had dementia and had to be taken into care. And I remember when he was dying, sitting at the bedside, this is nearly 30 years ago. And the mind had just gone, and he would speak repetitively, and it didn't make any sense. I remember sitting at the side of the bed in the hospital, and my dad was there, and my dad just looked at his dad and he said, well, Pop, you're going home. And I will never forget the expression. My granddad just stopped that constant, just was really nonsense. And he looked at my dad and he said, that's right. That's right. And even though he couldn't understand many other things and his memory had gone and that process had set in, there was still something that he could register with in relation to his salvation. You see, the Lord says, even to your old age, even when all these things have set in, when these things come, the Lord says, I will carry you. True faith comes to the Bible and rests upon what God has said. But there's something else in closing that true faith finds and rests upon. It rests upon what God has said concerning the completion of this return journey. Yes, this present life is a return journey to the dust. And when old age arrives at death and returns to the dust, God has spoken concerning what comes after. For there shall be another return. Another return. Turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 10. And we read these wonderful words, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is not in reference to any earthly Zion. This is eternal, everlasting, everlasting joy. And they shall return. It's repeated again in Isaiah 51 and verse 11. And this time in the English translation it reads like this. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing on to Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Why is it written twice? Why is it written twice? I think it's written twice because sometimes when we stand at the graveside, and when we see that process of the return journey to the dust, we may be tempted to think, that's it. But the Lord has put it twice into the Bible. Those who are redeemed shall return. They shall return. And they will return from the dust of the ground. They shall be raised again, and that corruptible body, that mortal body, sown into the ground, shall be raised in incorruption, in immortality, and the soul that departed at death will be reunited with a risen and a glorified body. And thereafter, it shall be everlasting joy, joy that will last forever. joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing and mourning shall flee away. It's written there over in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, where we have the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly Zion in view, the everlasting Zion of God. Oh, what a city it is. What a glorious prospect. Where John says in verse 3, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Remember, he said, "I am he, even to your old age. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to carry you through. I'm going to bear you through. And I will bring you to Zion." And look at verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." I make all things new. "Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And there shall be perfect knowledge. We shall know even as we are known." And let me tell you, in that new creation, there will be no Alzheimer's. No Alzheimer's disease. There will be perfect knowledge. The mind restored completely. It's like the two Scots people, husband and wife. And the wife said, "Jock, do you think we'll know one another when we get to heaven?" And Jock looked at his wife and he said, "Woman, do you think we'll be more stupid up there than we are down here?" "Yes, we will know. Perfect knowledge. Because the Lord says, I make all things new. And the former things, all that we identified with in this life, that return journey to the dust brought about by sin, the former things passed away. No more sickness, no more pain, no more decay, no more sorrow, no more death. Isn't that tremendous? No more death. No more death. Because the redeemed of the Lord have returned with everlasting joy, and have obtained gladness and joy forevermore. True faith looks out at this present world, and it comes to the Bible and learns that it's not as God made it in the beginning. God didn't make this. It all came about because of man's sin and rebellion against his Creator. And consequently, man's present life is a return journey to the dust, with that process of decay in place. But the glorious prospect for the redeemed is this: the Lord will make a new creation. And all who are redeemed, all who trust Christ in this life, God promises and God pledges to carry us through, right through this journey, even through old age with all of its infirmity and decay, right through to the other side. What a glorious prospect. It is not easy watching loved ones on this journey, this return journey to the dust. Whatever way that journey takes them through the valley, it's not easy watching. But what mitigates the difficulty is when there is a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Great hope of redemption through his blood. that is revealed to us in the gospel of his sovereign grace. Yes, there are those who lose faith. The Lord talked about them. They believe just for a little while because they have no root. I trust tonight, as we have looked at this parable and as we've taken this subject, I hope and pray that it will be the desire of everyone here to have a true faith. Not a temporal faith, but a faith that is rooted in God's word, that believes what God has said and rests upon it with the confidence that God will do as he has said. May the Lord teach us these things, and may the Lord help us to rest with faith upon his blessed word. Let's turn to 598 as we conclude tonight. 598, and we'll stand together.